First of all, I would like to offer our respects to the saintly persons attending this function and thank all of you for attending this program tonight in this holy place where Bhagavan Nrisimhadev has been worshipped for so many hundreds of years and where the great devotee Anjaneya is also accepting the worship of his devotees. Tonight I would like to speak about materialism and spiritualism. We've heard these terms. These are common terms, materialism and spiritualism. Before we discuss, I'd like to suggest that those with cell phones kindly turn them off. Suspend your materialism for 1 hour or so. Of course, spiritualists can also have cell phones. Let's discuss about this. Generally, when we think of a materialist, we think of someone who is very interested in getting lots of money and living in opulence, a big bungalow and lots of servants. That would fit the description of a materialist, don't you think? Is that a good definition of a materialist? Any opinions? More or less, that's what we call a materialist. And a spiritualist means someone who is not interested in living comfortably, who may deliberately accept discomfort. That is called tapasya, for the sake of spiritual advancement. We think of a spiritualist as someone who lives without very much, hardly any possessions. However, it might be that someone living in opulence is actually very spiritually minded. We find many descriptions in Shastra of kings who are great devotees. Lord Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, who was not a rishi. Arjuna thought it would be more spiritual to leave the battle. He thought, why should I fight to gain a kingdom? But Krishna encouraged him, yes, you fight. It would seem that Krishna's advising Arjuna to fight for a kingdom was not very spiritual. Yet Bhagavad Gita is accepted as the essence of all spiritual knowledge. In Srimad Bhagavatam is the description of Ambarish Maharaj, who, being a great king, lived in much opulence, but he engaged all his activities in the service of Krishna. And he was so spiritually powerful that even when the renounced Rishi Durvasa Muni tried to curse him, the curse had no effect. Now it may be that someone who is very poor, and he was so spiritually powerful that even when the renounced Rishi Durvasa Muni tried to curse him, the curse had no effect. Now it may be that someone who is very poor, he doesn't have much money, he may be actually very materialistic, because even though he doesn't have very much, the desire to gain material objects is very strong in his heart. Now, what about a sadhu who renounces everything and goes to live in a cave? And even if people offer him money and so many things, he refuses. He would seem to be very spiritual, isn't it? We hope so. But it may be that even though he has given up gross material desires, He has many subtle material desires because he may take pleasure in others praising him that he's so renounced. Great acharyas have analyzed that even if someone gives up gross material desires, it is very difficult to give up the desire for pratishtha, for being praised by others. And even if we say someone is so renounced that he's living in a cave, we may question that renunciation. Someone has given up everything to live in a cave. Our worshipable Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, gave the example of, or he gave an example in this regard, that if a man walks into a bank and announces to everyone, "Ladies and gentlemen, I renounce all the money in this bank." Well, why should anyone take him seriously? Because the money in the bank doesn't belong to him anyway. So in the same way, we may say, "I am renouncing everything in the world, but nothing belongs to us anyway." So generally people who renounce the world, they do so out of disappointment. They have struggled and tried to enjoy this material world, but finding themselves unable to do so, they say, "Now I shall renounce it." It's not really that they are detached from material enjoyment, but they find it easier not to struggle. And by being a sadhu, then they can live more peacefully. And they may say, "I'm renouncing everything," but we cannot renounce everything. We cannot renounce anything because nothing belongs to us. We come into this world empty-handed and we leave empty-handed. And we're here for such a short time. And in the meantime, while we're here, we struggle so much and we suffer so much anxiety on gaining possessions, protecting our possessions from others, fighting over possessions by legal cases or at the national level by fighting wars, thinking this property belongs to me. But we come in this world empty-handed, we leave empty-handed. Nothing belongs to us. So why should we think that we can renounce anything when nothing belongs to us? Now, even if we think we can renounce everything, we cannot. Because we might renounce our house that we live in, but then we go to live in a cave. Or even if we become a wandering sadhu and go from place to place, we have to utilize the ingredients of this world. Even if we live just by breathing air, that air is something we're utilizing. So, the question, what is the difference between materialism and spiritualism? Someone may live amidst wealth and not be attached to it. Someone can supposedly renounce everything, but be very much attached to being honored by others. Ultimately, the difference between materialism and spiritualism is a question of consciousness. Materialistic consciousness means to be self-centered, selfish. And spiritual consciousness means to be selfless. Even if a sadhu renounces everything for the aim of attaining mukti, it is still a goal for his own self-improvement. We find in the teachings of pure bhakti given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the complete definition of selflessness. Now, sometimes when we say selflessness, we think this means to destroy the ahankar, that I will not have any sense of being I. Well, that is one kind of selflessness. But a higher definition of selflessness is to retain the sense of I, But instead of thinking I should be the center of everything, to think I should be the servant of everyone. Simply to negate the sense of I is a negative concept. But to give oneself entirely to another, that is full self-surrender, that is a positive move, that is positive selflessness. But we cannot fully give ourselves, or we can only give ourselves fully to one who is fully capable of accepting our service. We should understand who is the Supreme Person who is worthy of complete surrender to, complete service. That Supreme Person who is to be worshipped by everyone is Krishna. Yam Brahma, Rudra, Varunendra, Marutai, Stunvanti, Devai, Stavai. All the great demigods, they all worship Krishna. If we dispassionately examine all the Shastras, we must come to the conclusion, as given in Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna stu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us what is selfless service to Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadisha kamaye, mama janmani janmanishvare, bhavatad bhaktir ahaitu kitvai. He said that, my dear Lord, I do not desire wealth, nor followers, nor beautiful women. Nor do I desire anything within the universe for my enjoyment. So, this... Hare Krishna, we lost the sound. We have alternative sound system. Where? Hare Krishna. They don't have the battery for the mic? They don't have this company? Usually the... Hare Krishna. Quick. They don't have a... Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. This is not good. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. This is not good. This is a bad arrangement. They should be ready for this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. They had a generator or battery or what? Anyway, it's a space out. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Do you think you can shout loud enough so people can hear you? Okay, so just ask everyone to keep quiet and then we can... This idea that we should give up all material enjoyment, all desires for money, followers, beautiful women, this many sadhus will say. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also says, Mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhakti rahaitu kitvai. He says that I want your service in my life, birth after birth. In other words, he's not praying for mukti. He's praying for ahaituki bhakti. Ahaituki bhakti means that I will serve you, Krishna, but I don't demand anything in return. I just want to serve you because I am your servant. It is an exchange of love. So this selflessness and self-surrender, this is actual spiritualism. We may find that a devotee, he may live in opulence, but he does everything for the pleasure of Krishna. If we examine the position of different sadhus, there may be one who is living just in a cave with no possessions, and another is living in opulence and offering everything to Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
One who knows how to use everything in Krishna's service is better situated than one who supposedly gives up everything. Another example is that someone may walk on the street and see a gold bangle has fallen down. So one person sees it, one type of person, upon seeing it, will see no one is looking and pick it up and put it in his pocket and take it for his own possession. Someone else may see it and think, it doesn't belong to me, I shall leave it and walk on. And someone else will think that someone has accidentally dropped this and pick it up, find out who it belongs to and return it to that person. So like that, the gross materialist, whatever he sees, he wants to use it for himself, not recognizing that everything belongs to Krishna. The mediocre spiritualist thinks that this doesn't belong to me, so I shouldn't use it for myself. And the fully developed spiritualist understands that everything belongs to Krishna, so everything in this world should be utilized for the pleasure of Krishna. So a devotee who lives in a marble mutt and who dedicates his mind, body and words in serving Krishna within that opulent situation, his understanding is more developed than one who leaves everything to live in a cave. Generally, spiritualists are advised to avoid opulence, because in our perverted material consciousness, whatever we get, we try to enjoy it for our own sense gratification. But if we are trained in Krishna consciousness, in understanding that everything belongs to Krishna, then we shall utilize everything for Krishna's service. So sometimes people are surprised when they see the members of this Hare Krishna movement have big opulent temples and cars and so many things. And they may come and collect donations. And people think, well, this isn't very spiritual. But it has to be seen, what are they doing with these facilities and with this money? If this car is used only to go from place to place to preach Krishna bhakti, then that is the proper use of the car. If someone lives in an opulent marble building, but utilizes that only for the service of Krishna 24 hours a day, then he is not a materialist, he is a spiritualist. Now it may be said, well, why...
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
It may be said that why do you have to have a marble temple? God can be worshipped in any circumstance. That's true. God doesn't need to be worshipped by marble and by opulence. But it's also true that we should offer the best of everything to Krishna. So if we don't use all the good things of the world for worshipping Krishna, we shall want to use them for our own sense indulgence. So to teach the people of the world who want to use everything for their sense indulgence, devotees take the best things of the world and use that to serve Krishna. And when devotees take donations from people, they actually are doing them, they're doing something beneficial for that person. We complain, everything is so expensive nowadays, because we don't want to give away our money. So why should we want to give money to sadhus? Because sadhus, those who are actually sadhus, they will not engage money for their own sense pleasure. They will utilize everything to serve Krishna. This is the meaning of bhakti. It is very difficult for materialistic people to understand this, because they can only think in a materialistic way. They presume that everything is meant for my enjoyment. This is our diseased consciousness, which causes us to be born again and again in this material world. Now, sometimes people think that we shall do bhakti, and by doing bhakti, we shall get mukti. Anyone who thinks like this, and there are many people who think like this, they have not understood bhakti even in the slightest. Because bhakti means selflessness. But if we are selfless, we serve Krishna, but we have the idea, at the end I shall take some advantage and I shall get mukti, then I can forget Krishna, I shall become Krishna. That means that our selflessness is not actual selflessness, it's only a show of selflessness to take some personal advantage. It is a kind of cheating. Just like we find if someone has a very high position, everyone respects him and they behave very politely with him, because they're thinking that I can get something from him. Or they're afraid if I disrespect him, he can punish me. So their good behavior is not because they are intrinsically good, but because they have a selfless desire to fulfill through that person. In this way, all good behavior, cultured behavior, and morality in this material world is simply a show to try to extract some advantage from others. The selflessness of a devotee is far beyond mundane morality. You must be knowing about Tirumangai Alvar, who by stealing would take money to serve the Lord and the devotees. This is not recommended for neophyte devotees, but his stealing is worshipable, that is far more laudable than the morality of persons who have no intention of serving Vishnu and the Vaishnavas. So selflessness, full self-surrender, is the intrinsic characteristic of bhakti. Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadhaman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. We can only fully give ourselves to someone if we have full trust that by doing so, our best interest is served. The very best thing I can do is to surrender to Krishna. This trust must be there. In this material world, it is very difficult to trust anybody, especially in the modern age. Anyone may cheat anyone else. Even the father cannot trust the son, or the wife cannot trust the husband. We live in a very selfish or very materialistic age. But Krishna proposes that we should have full trust in him and fully surrender to him. We can have full trust in Krishna by understanding how he protects his devotees. Here in Namakal, the worship of Lord Nrisimhadev has been going on for centuries. Lord Nrisimhadev protected Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad made no endeavor to protect himself. He was fully dependent on the protection of Krishna. There are so many examples. Gajendra, although he wasn't a Brahmin or not even a human being, and wasn't even in the body of a human being, but he was protected by the Lord. Arjuna was fully protected by Krishna. Krishna even broke his own promise, "I will not fight." To protect Arjuna, he was prepared to break his own promise.
Hare Krishna.
So Krishna is worth taking shelter of. In this material world, we try to surround ourselves with many material objects. We talk about security. I have 10 lakhs in the bank. This is my security. But there is no security. Even if you have 1,000 crores, there is no protection from death. You can bribe everyone in this world, but you cannot bribe Yamaraj. But for the devotee of Krishna, there is no question of bribing Yamaraj. Anyone who chants the name of Krishna will never see Yamaraj. He may see him, but he will not go to Yamaraj. Yamaraj may come to him to offer his blessings to such a devotee. So this is our security. This is our life insurance policy. The only insured fact about life is that this body will come to an end, it will die. So we can do yoga and take medicine and try to be healthy, but definitely this body will have to die. But one who is sheltered by Krishna has no fear of death. Because he fully gives himself to Krishna, then Krishna fully gives himself to the devotee. Whereas someone who maintains selfish desires, he is not protected by Krishna. One who desires to enjoy this material world is given facility by Krishna to enjoy this material world. Krishna gives us facility to attempt to enjoy this material world, sometimes as a human being, sometimes as a dog, sometimes as a cat, sometimes as an Indra, and sometimes as a worm in stool. There are 84 lakh species of life, and we cannot be happy in any of them. As long as we maintain this selfish spirit that I shall not serve Krishna. Because as the jiva, as the atma, it is the dharma of the atma to be fully surrendered to Krishna. So even if we think I shall renounce everything and attain mukti, that is also another form of selfishness. Sometimes people think that there are many spiritual paths. That is incorrect. The only actual spiritual path, the dharma of the atma, is to surrender to Krishna. Anything else, either directly or indirectly cultivating selfishness, is not actual spiritual life. People are attracted to different so-called spiritualists because they have not developed their natural attraction for Krishna. If we simply develop this spirit that I am Krishna's, then we shall be fully satisfied. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us, this consciousness, Krishna consciousness, is very easy to develop by chanting the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is an extremely powerful mantra. This mantra has more power than millions of nuclear bombs. The scientists are working very hard to develop more and more sophisticated nuclear bombs. But the nuclear bomb can only blow apart material objects, like they can destroy cities. But the Maha Mantra destroys that which is more difficult to destroy. That is our ahankar or selfishness. The Maha Mantra destroys all the bad qualities covering the soul: kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya. But it doesn't only destroy, it gives us the highest benefit: love of Krishna. Love of Krishna means that I simply want to please Krishna. I want to give myself to Krishna. Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti paharitam ashnami prayatatmanah. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit or water, I will accept it. Krishna doesn't need from us leaf, flower, fruit or water, but He very much wants that we shall offer our selfless love to Him. This spirit of selfless love is called bhakti. This is very pleasing to Krishna. So when we stop trying to satisfy our tongue, belly, genitals, eyes, ears, nose, and we simply think, how I can satisfy Krishna? This is bhakti. This spirit of bhakti is invoked especially by chanting the names of Krishna. So people who are very fortunate will appreciate this. It is very easy to cheat people, but it is very difficult to convince them of what is for their actual benefit. If we tell people that you just close your eyes and say Om and you will become God, then thousands of people will come. But if we tell that you are meant to serve God, well, people will think, well, what about me? What do I get? We're always thinking in terms of my own advantage. When we understand that our actual self-interest is in surrendering to Krishna, then our life is successful. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Are there any questions about this? No questions. That means everyone's fully convinced. You all want to surrender your life to Krishna. All right. Well, how shall we do that? We should learn from Krishna what He wants us to do. Krishna has described this in Bhagavad Gita, Undmai Uruvil. As it's the very auspicious month going on now, we are distributing this Bhagavad Gita. In which you can get knowledge of Krishna given by Krishna Himself. There are many books of spiritual knowledge, but Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gita, the The one Shastra we need is this Devaki Putra Gita, Bhagavad Gita. So, those of you who don't have this Bhagavad Gita, Unnamai Uravil, then you can please collect it from us. These are available at the book table, right there on the door. And there are many other wonderful books explaining who is Krishna and what is our relationship with him. Many people ask, how is it that so many Western people are taking Krishna bhakti? The answer is because of these books. This scientific presentation of spiritual knowledge. By which, with their intelligence, they have understood that Krishna bhakti is far better than anything this material world can offer. So this Tamil Nadu is traditionally a land of dharma, of bhakti, of shastra gyanam. In the modern age, Tamil Nadu is famous for TVS. Tsunami. And now Ford Motor Company. And so many software engineers. If we go to America, we'll find so many people, so many Tamil Brahmins there. So you have a great tradition of learning and culture and religion. So please maintain this by understanding and following Bhagavad Gita Unmai Uravil. Hare Krishna. Again, if anyone wants to ask any question, please ask. There's Prasad. Okay, announce.
They can collect the address from the book table. Now, there's also prasadam on the way out. Everyone please take prasadam. And just one more thing we'd like to do to finish up this program. is to chant the names of Krishna. So please join us in chanting. This is not a performance. We have not come to entertain you, but to ask you to please join us in chanting. So please chant with your full heart. And pray to Krishna for his mercy, that we can attain selfish bhakti at his lotus feet.
Okay.